25 plus years ago, my wife and I used to take young adults and others skiing, and when you take a large group of people skiing, you often have some of those who actually feel like they're better than they really are, and so they ski the most difficult slopes, they jump every mogul, they do everything, and so I can remember this so vividly because it seems like yesterday I was with this group and I had a young man in the group named Kelly, and Kelly was not worried about anything, not worried about falling, not worried about crashing, anything, because he just liked the speed. He said, Brother Gerald, this is just so exhilarating to get to hit these hills and move so fast. So I looked at him and said, Kelly, you have to be careful, son. So I saw him ski this path, and he was just skiing completely out of control. And so we ended up meeting at the top of a hill. And so as we stopped at the top of the hill, I said, Kelly, I need you to listen to me. You better get it under control, because if not, you could have something really painful happen to you. And so you got to be real careful. So I skied down the hill, and I looked up, and Kelly is skiing down the hill at a speed that you can't imagine, out of control. And all of a sudden, I see him leave the ski path, and he's going into the woods. And he finally hits a tree. And he sees the tree coming, and so he leans back at a 45. All right, because he was limber enough to do this. He leaned back at 45. The only problem was his knee didn't see the tree. And so he hit his leg, shattered his leg. I mean, put him out of commission completely. And I'll never forget this, because he is just crying out in pain. And I ski over to him, pop my skis off. I walk over, I kneel down beside him and say, Kelly, are you okay? He said, I'm dying. You got to help me. I said, I tried to help you right up the top of that hill. I tried to warn you that you were going to go through something painful if you didn't quit. And it's interesting, because he learned a great lesson out of that. Kelly obviously took his skis off, but he put his heart in the right place, and he's been a decorated soldier serving our military for all these years. After that, he learned a great lesson. He learned a discipline and learned that he needed to take control of his life. And as a result, whenever I see anything about his life, I remember those moments when he went through that difficulty and that pain. And I remember holding him, thinking, this pain doesn't seem to be going away. And the reality is that for him, and that rod in his leg and all the things required to restore him, put him in a place where he could end up being effective. And what I want you to see today is this. Today we look at Joshua chapter 5. You have your Bible open there. Let me give you a little bit of background. Perhaps you have not been able to experience what we've been looking at over the last number of weeks, but let me give you a little bit of background. The people of God have been given the privilege to be able to enter into their promised land, into the place that God had prepared for them. This opportunity is going to be led by Joshua, not Moses, because Moses dies and Joshua takes command, and Joshua gets very clear instruction. I'm going to be leading you. I'm going to be guiding you. Out of that, he spies out the land with sending two spies in. He had personal experience of this because he had seen it himself at another juncture. And as a result of committing himself to accomplishing what God intended, he ends up bringing the people across the Jordan River. At flood stage, the Lord holds the water back just like he did the Red Sea. And as a result, we get to chapter 5. And chapter 5 is an intriguing chapter because it's in this place where the hearts of those who are on the other side of the Jordan melt. It's in this place where they get to face the painful process of circumcision, that is a process of connecting a covenant relationship with God's plan for all of them. And it's in this place that Jesus shows up in a pre-incarnate state as captain of the host of the Lord's army. And so you can imagine that chapter 5 has great significance in it. But I want to start with this question, because just like Kelly had an accident that set something in motion, do you recall a painful moment that you went through that you found was answered in his peace and his purpose for your life? Do you recall a moment where it was so challenging, so overwhelming, and then in the midst of that pain, his peace became a part of your story? His purpose became a part of your story? Because the reality is we live through so many different experiences that are painful, that do have consequential aspects of which way we turn and which way we go. And even last night, I got a message from an orphan from another land, and the message was, is there really a Jesus? And how do you know he could live in your heart? And when I got the message, I thought to myself, this person this person was going through a process of discovery that had been painful to them. You see, by the time she finished, she told the story of being raped at 8 years old and going through difficulty and heartache, and as a result of that, trying to process through where was God in the midst of all that she'd been through. But now she was answering the question with, where is Jesus and what can he do for me? And what I want you to see today is this: Jesus is right where he's always been, waiting to help anyone who ever has a need at any place, any juncture in your life. He's there for you. Doesn't take the wickedness of the world out, doesn't take away some of the painful, tragic things we have to live through, but it does allow us to see that he anchors his heart in us, and he allows us to experience him the way he intended. So, Joshua chapter 5. Now, I'm not going to read all the text to you today because I want you to see some very vital lessons that are part of this. But if you would, look if you would in verse 9, or verse 1 first, then we'll look at verse 9. Now, it came about when all the kings, the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings, the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted and there's no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. Look at verse 9 of chapter 5. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. Reminder to you, Gilgal was a place that was where they put memorial stone. It was a place where they always came back to after every battle. It was their place of refuge in the midst of difficulty. And you and I have places we go back to, those refuge places that speak to our hearts and lives. And I was even thinking last night uniquely about my grandparents' house that I used to go to as a place of refuge when I was struggling through life and trying to figure out what was happening in our family and other things. Whenever I entered my grandmother's home, there was peace and purpose in that place. And it had such significant impact on my life. But you'll notice here, in verse 9, he says, the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. What was happening was this, and I don't want you to miss this. What was the reproach all about? It was when they doubted and did not accept God's perfect plan that created for them such a unique and difficult heartache. Today I want to challenge you to think about in your own life, his plan is perfect. The more you yield to it, the more you experience what he has for you, and the more your life unfolds the way God intended. And so as you see this, you realize God rolled it all away because Joshua's being positioned to accomplish what God intends. Look on down, though, if you would, because in verse 13 and following, notice what happened. Now, it came about when Joshua was looking, was by Jericho, they lifted up his eyes, looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? He said, no, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And the most important part of that verse is this, and Joshua did so. In other words, here's what happened. Joshua has an encounter that really affirms, if you look back at chapter 1, and notice, if you would, in verse 5, notice what happened. This is God speaking to him. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Notice what he says, I will be with you. In other words, here's what you see. There's this opportunity for Joshua to encounter God in a personal and real way. And I'm going to tell you, he never forgets meeting the captain of the host of the Lord. And you and I should never forget meeting the Lord and encountering him and experiencing what he has for our lives. So this is an amazing, moving lesson. And a significant place in all this is Gilgal. And here's what I want you to get into your own mind and heart today is the overarching thought of the entire message today. Everyone needs a Gilgal to properly prepare for life's challenges. Everyone needs a place where they take refuge and they recognize that whatever it is they have been through, that God's redemptive power moves beyond anything that we have done in order to experience what we can do, and that is to encounter him the way he intended. So imagine everyone here can probably identify their Gilgal. In other words, their place where God opened their heart and life up to experiencing what he intended, rolled away anything that was a difficulty or heartache, rolled away the reproach of any sin that had been a part of the past of our lives. And what you realize is the reason they needed a Gilgal was sin had separated them from God's great purpose. And as a result, they ended up wandering in a wilderness for 40 years. They paid a great price for the sin they chose to do. And it's interesting because the sin of disobedience and disbelief cost them more than they could ever calculate. Why is this chapter 5 important? Because all those who were men of war died in the wilderness. They lost all those people. That's why there was a need for circumcision. Because all those who had been circumcised, who had established a covenant relationship. And what I want you to see today is this. This chapter 5 is not so much about the physical pain connected as it is the spiritual pain connected in obedience, connected to what they should be doing in their life, and that is to circumcise their hearts so that they stay sensitive to what it is that God wants to do in each one of their lives. And so, as you look at this, I want you to think about your Gilgal. I want you to think about when the Lord shows up and is present in your life. And then I want to show you four distinctive lessons that are very vital out of this text, because what's happening? They're getting ready to bring down the walls of Jericho. They're getting ready to march around in silence. They're getting ready to watch as God works. And what you're going to see is this. If you want the walls of your life to fall, things that you'd like to see God only he can do, you have to, first of all, deal with your own heart, deal with your own life. And that's why chapter 5 is so significant. And it's interesting, by the way, they were placed in the most vulnerable spot they could ever be. All right? They go across there thinking that we get to fight the battle. But before they fight the battle, they've got to submit to something that's dramatically painful and challenging. And I'll tell you, that's exactly what conversion will do for us. We submit because of the sin that does separate us, because of the choices we have made. We submit ourselves to God and allow him to come live inside of our lives. And when he does, he changes everything. Four lessons I want you to see as we look at this. First of all, lesson number one, God uniquely showed his power to his people. How do we know that? Verse 1 says that when word got out that God was at work, their hearts melted. In other words, the kings melted. They all said, you know what? We are in for defeat. We're not going to win. And in Isaiah chapter 54, one of my favorite verses in the book of Isaiah is the 17th verse. And it says, if no weapon formed against you will prosper. And when you look at that verse, you realize that the significance of it is that God uses that to remind us that there are going to be adversarial things that come at us. There are going to be issues that we encounter that we don't understand. And out of all that, nothing's going to prosper to the point where it takes away the heritage that we have as the children of God. And so what happens in chapter 5 is they hear the reports, the king's hearts are melted. They're completely removed from having any power. And you can imagine for each one of them to hear their hearts had melted and there was no spirit in them any longer. It tells you something. Their will to fight, their willingness to go at what it is God had for them was gone because they heard that the people who represented God were coming. And let me tell you, when you and I represent God, nothing can stop us. There's no weapon formed against us that will prosper. And so here, when you look at that, you go, wait a minute now. So what allowed them to experience this whole idea of a lesson that would change their life forever, and they could see that out of this they could commit their hearts to accomplishing what God intended? They made a decision and decided to be all in. Because when you decide to be all in with Jesus, victories that come your way, it will lead to victory over our enemies. It will lead to victory over our circumstances. And so what you see is, how do we know that they're all in? Because you're going to discover, if you look at chapter 5, that every single man submitted to the request placed before them. And that is, we are going to follow what it is that God has for us. And it's interesting because you discover that in verse 5 of this text, for all the people who came out were circumcised, but all the people, watch this, who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. So here's what you discover. They were facing the painful but purposeful and powerful decision. Do we submit to what it is that Joshua said? Because they know Joshua speaks for God. He speaks as a messenger from God. And as a result, they make a decision and they say, you know what, we're going to be all in. And what I want you to get in your mind and thoughts today is this. When when you make a choice to be all in, what does God obligated to do? He's obligated to show you his power at work in your life, and he'll show you in amazing and powerful ways. And we saw that in Isaiah 54. My challenge you to think about in your own life, what happens if you just say, I'm all in. I'm going to submit myself to what it is God has for me. I'm going to follow his plan. I'm going to do whatever it is he's called me to do. I'm going to tell you what happened. Your life lines up in alignment, watch this, with his plan, because the passion of your heart and the purpose that God's given you allow you to see how you can align those things to accomplish so much. In fact, you can accomplish everything he intended. And here's what I want you to see. The people of God have just watched the Jordan be pushed back. They've just watched the king's hearts melt. And then they realized, Joshua said, no, this is not just a communal deal. This is a personal deal, one-on-one. You with that flint knife, it's you facing it. And what I want you to see today is that when it comes to what God has for us, we need to be willing to submit our hearts and lives to exactly what it is he intends. Second lesson I want you to see. The first one is simply this. God has a purpose for our lives. He's called on us to uniquely live out his power in each one of our lives. Second lesson I want you to see is in verses 2 through 9, but it's this. God called on every man to sacrifice and stay humble. Now, if you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 10 for a moment, I want to show you something, because as I was reading those verses, there's something that God has for each one of us as it relates to our choice to live out his plan for our life. Deuteronomy chapter 10, there's a verse that as you read it, you'll notice in verse 16, Deuteronomy 10 verse 16. In fact, go back to verse 14, because it kind of gives you the context by which they're getting directed from Moses. Look, if you would, verse 14. Behold, the Lord your God belongs heaven and the highest heaven, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, and you above all people, as it is this day. But listen what he writes here. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer. When you read that, you realize here's what God reveals to the people who are in the middle of learning the most vital lesson of their life, because what he wants them to learn is you got to stay humble, you got to sacrifice, you got to circumcise your heart. And so what he's trying to transfer to you and me by way of thought is this. In chapter 5 of Joshua, they experience circumcision, but the circumcision is directed, watch this, it's directed not just at their physical pain, but at their spiritual purpose, because what he wants them to do is see their heart and let it be circumcised, and my heart is stayed on him. Because it's interesting, when you get to Isaiah 26, he says, who has perfect peace? The person whose heart is stayed on him, whose mind is stayed on him. And so here we find that in verses 2 through 9, they go through this grueling and challenging process, and it's then verse 9, it says, the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. And in Genesis chapter 17, what you learn is, in fact, if you just turn back here just for a second, because I want you to see, in Genesis 17, there's another reminder to them related to this whole issue of having a covenant relationship with God, which is what the entire circumcision process is all about, all right? And so Genesis 17, verse 9. If you're with me, say amen. Good, because I don't want you to lose me. Verse 9. God said further to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generation. This is my covenant, which descendants after you, every male among you shall be circumcised. And he goes on to describe how important it is that they make the choice to submit themselves to God's plan, because it was a symbol of the covenant relationship that God intended for each one of them. And what I want you to see and grasp today is that God has for each one of us, making sure that we understand what it is God has done helps us learn how to deal with our past. And so when we decide to deal with our past properly and accept our future in God's way, what happens to us is all of a sudden we're not hampered by what transpired 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. We're instead positioned, watch this, with our hearts circumcised before God. In other words, with our hearts completely opened up to accomplishing what he intends for each one of us. And what you and I need to see today is this. He has a purpose for our life. We just have to submit ourselves to that purpose in order to experience what he intends for us. So think about it for a moment. here you are, you got a chance to deal with your past. You know what? I don't want that to define me. Which, by the way, when the Bible talks about the sin that so easily besets us, the things that the choices we make that have consequence, what you and I need to get a hold of today is this. As we live out our lives, we have to live out anchored in the truth, committed and submitted to the Spirit, yielded to God's great plan, because out of that comes a life where God can use us. All right, so first thing we see is that God has a very unique way of showing him his power. Second thing is he wants to make sure that we sacrifice and stay humble. And watch this, you can't miss this little, let me interject this one thought. There was nothing more humbling for all those who were warriors than to be shut down completely by personal pain that they could not recover from any quicker, because each one of them had to go through the same painful experience. And what I want you to see today is that when he humbles us to accomplish more. He humbles us to experience more. And when we're humble, we hear him speak more clearly. We hear what it is that he has for each one of our lives. And so you need to think about, hey, how can I stay humble? How can I stay committed to experiencing what he intends for me? A third thing you see in verse 10, you notice this lesson that's so vital. God prepared and replaced his provision with a new abundance, because it is here that all of a sudden the manna is gone. I mean, the 40 years they've been provided for by God, all of a sudden now they got to move forward on their own. Look at verse 10. While the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the desert plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land, so that the sons of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. And in Luke 6:38, you find Jesus making it quite clear that he'll bring back to us more than we could ever calculate, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will he bring into the bosom of all those who entrust their heart to him? And so here's what happened. Just think about it for a moment. Every day they'd wake up, there's manna from heaven. And then all of a sudden they eat, they see something. And by the way, I would think that after a while manna would be kind of boring. But for them, they ate it for a long time. It was what they had. And so they get into the promised land and they see all these things they've never seen before. I mean, they're fascinated, no doubt, but they also realize how beautiful and luscious and abundant God's provision is. And what I want you to see today is God is always going to abundantly provide for each one of us. He's going to give us what we need. He's going to take care of our need. It may seem scarce to us, but it's abundant to him because he knows the ultimate plan for all of our lives. And so all of a sudden, he replaces his provision. And what happens is when you decide to live in his abundance, being anchored in his grace, you start experiencing the abundant life God intended for each one of you. And he wants us to experience what his grace is all about. He wants us to experience what his peace is all about. He wants to experience what his purpose is all about. He wants us to see what it is he has for us. He wants us to know what forgiveness can do. He wants us to know that anyone here who chooses to allow him to forgive all that past and become a part of their future, that abundance is really what the grace of God is all about. The things that abound towards us are God's way of saying, I have something more in store for you. So imagine that they get this provision that God has for them. God says, I have something for you that's far greater than you could ever calculate. It's not manna fall from heaven. It is the abundance of the land I've given you. I've provided for you. And out of that comes great reminders to them that, hey, you know what? We have it. We know what God has for us. So think about this for a second. The king's heart's melted. And as the king's heart's melted, they knew victory was in front of them. But as the king's heart melted, they humbled themselves and they experienced that they had to have in order to reestablish a covenant relationship with God. They had to do God's way instead of their own way. Their way said, we'll wander forever. God's way says, this is the way, walk in it. Big difference. That's why when you read in Isaiah where the Bible says that you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. What do you see? You see that he's always guiding us, always speaking to us, always watching over each one of our lives. And then you get to verse 13 and you discover something. That as the plan for God's people unfolds, he also has a plan for Joshua. And that plan is very distinctive because God chooses to reveal himself to him. And he reveals himself Because there's one lesson that every person cannot miss, and that is he revealed himself so they could worship before they encountered war. And I want you to get this in your mind. When you start facing a battle, be sure to worship him first. Because when you do, then you'll understand how to fight the battle the way he intended. The Bible's full of stories of those who fight different battles different ways. There's Gideon. There's all these different people that fought these different battles. All of them were destined for success if they recognize that they should worship first and then fight the battle. All right? So look, if you would, verse 13. Now, it came about when Joshua was by Jericho, they lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to his adversary, said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversary?" And he said, No, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." Joshua fell on his face to the earth, bowed down, and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" And we don't know all that he heard. We you know, it's not recorded, but it's interesting what he does say. Because he says to him, "You take your sandals off your feet, and because the place where you are standing is holy." In other words, here's what he said: even in the most simple, unique ways, obey me. Take those sandals off. And Joshua fell on his face and worshiped and said, "Lord, I want to be with you." And when you watch that, you realize that in Exodus chapter 3, one other verse I want to tie into, which, by the way, the reason I'm lacing you back into other parts of the Old Testament is this. You have to understand that chapter 5 sets in motion their understanding of everything that connects to a covenant relationship, everything that connects to submission to authority, because they haven't submitted to authority. They've gone their own way. And in verse 5 of chapter 3, notice what he says. Then he said, "Do not come near me, near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." It's in this third chapter, the burning bush. God shows up, and as a result, he said, "You know what? Take your shoes off. You're about to experience something you never could imagine any other way." And listen, here's what God intends for each one of us. He wants us to take our shoes off and experience, not literally. Some of you take shoes off, put them back on quickly. The reality is, he's not talking about physically the shoes. He's talking about more than that. He's talking about us being willing to submit our hearts in humility to him and watch him work in the most profound and powerful ways. Because here's what you discover. When you start deciding to encounter Jesus the way he intended, which is what happens here, it leads you to miraculous moments and insights. Because we don't know what all transpires here, but here's what we do know. When they get ready to tackle Jericho, Joshua knows exactly what he's supposed to do. And he commits himself to following that, submitting to what God intends for his life. And today, as you think about that, what would happen if all of a sudden he called on you to pay the same price? What would happen if he just said, "You know what? I want you to pay the price so you can discover my purpose for your life"? Just be willing to take your shoes off. Be willing to let your heart be circumcised. Be willing to realize your enemy's not going to beat you. And when you do that, you get to experience God's very best. And it could be you're here today and you're waiting for that encounter to experience him the way he intended. Let me tell you what's cool about it. You want to experience him? You just have to repent of what it is that's held you back. What sin that besets you, that sets you back, he can help you be removed from all that and give you an encounter with him that changes everything. All you have to do is say yes to him. Because when Jesus comes in, you get to live out what Joshua chapter 5 says, because he circumcises your heart. He opens your heart up to experience what he intended. As a result of that, your life is never the same. That's what makes coming to church so exciting and so special. And that's why we pray now, asking to bless what we just looked at. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for every person present in your house today. Thank you for the sun that shines outside. More than that, Lord, thank you for the presence of the Lord inside. In this room are those who've been through difficult challenges, and yet you've been faithful to watch over everything they're encountering. In this room are some who need to give their heart to you, need to say yes to you, need to commit themselves to becoming a part of who you are and how you work. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name to speak to any heart, any life that's looking for the answer. Lord, it's going to be an exciting day when we come into your house and realize in your word that you just want our hearts circumcised, you want our spirits submitted, and you want our lives yielded to accomplishing what you intend. Bless us, Lord, as we respond to you. In Christ's name, amen.